ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नस्तप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. This morning we're reading from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 7, entitled The Sacrifice Performed by Daksha, text number 31. Brahmavacha Naitat Swarupam Bhavato Asau Padartha Vedagrahai Purusho Yavad Ikshet Jnanasya Chartasya Gunasya Chashrayo Maya Mayad Vyatirikto Matas Tvam Brahmavacha Naitat Swarupam Bhavato Savpadartha. Naitat Swarupam Bhavato Savpadartha. Veda Grahai Purusha Yavadikshat. Vedagrahai Purusho Yavadikshet Jnanasya Chartasya Gunasya Chasrayo Jnanasya Chartasya Gunasya Chasrayo Maya Maya Vyatirikto Matastvam Maya Maya Vyatirikto Matastvam Brahmavacha Naitat Swarupam Bhavato Savpadartha Veda Grahai Purusho Yavadikshet Jnanasya Chartasya Gunasya Chasrayo Maya Maya Vyatirikto Matastvam. Lord Brahma said, Not. Etat, this. Swarupam, eternal form. Bhavataha, your. Asau, that other. Pada artha, knowledge. Veda, different. Grahai, by the acquiring. Purushaha, person. Yavat, as long as. Ikshet, wants to see. Jnanasya, of knowledge.
Cha,
also.
Arthasya,
of the objective.
Gunasya,
of the instruments of knowledge.
Cha,
also.
Ashrayaha,
the basis.
Maya,
mayat,
from being made of material energy.
Vyatiriktaha,
distinct.
Mataha,
regarded.
Tvam,
you.
Translation. Lord Brahma said, "My dear Lord, your personality and eternal form cannot be understood by any person who is trying to know you through the different processes of acquiring knowledge. Your position is always transcendental to the material creation, whereas the empiric attempt to understand you is material, as are its objectives and instruments." Responsively, everyone, please repeat.
Lord Brahma said,
"My dear Lord,
your personality and eternal form
cannot be understood by any person
who is trying to know you
through the different processes of acquiring knowledge.
Your position is always transcendental
to the material creation,
whereas the empiric attempt to understand you
is material,
as are its objects and instruments."
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
It is said that the transcendental name, qualities, activities, paraphernalia, etc., of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be understood with our material senses. The attempt of the empiric philosophers to understand the absolute truth by speculation is always futile, because their process of understanding, their objective, and the instruments by which they try to understand the absolute truth are all material. The Lord is a prakrita, beyond the creation of the material world. This fact is also accepted by the great impersonalist Shankaracharya. Narayana paro vyaktad andam avyakta sambhavam. Avyakta, or the original material cause, is beyond this material manifestation and is the cause of the material world. Because Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond the material world, one cannot speculate upon him by any material method. One has to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by the transcendental method of Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya Amam Avijanati. What verse is this? Bhagavad Gita, 1855. Does anybody agree with that? Anybody else has any numbers? Okay, it's probably one of the more famous verses in the Bhagavad Gita. And it is 1855, for those of you who are awake. Only by devotional service can one understand the transcendental form of the Lord. That is the difference between impersonalists and the personalists. the impersonalists, limited by their speculative processes, cannot even approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the devotees please the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his transcendental loving service. Sevan mukhe hi. Due to the service attitude of the devotee, the Lord is revealed to him. The Supreme Lord cannot be understood by materialistic persons, even though he is present before them. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna therefore condemns such materialists as mudhas. Mudha means rascal. Actually, it also means donkey. It is said in the Gita, only rascals think of Lord Krishna as an ordinary person. They do not know what Lord Krishna's position is or what his transcendental potencies are. Unaware of his transcendental potencies, the impersonalists deride the person of Lord Krishna, whereas the devotees, by dint of their service attitude, can understand him as the personality of Godhead. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, Arjuna confirmed that it is very difficult to understand the personality of Godhead. So there are gross materialists who are simply interested in tongue, belly, and genital. And they're not even interested in God, so it's highly unlikely that they will ever understand him in this life. One has to at least have some interest. Apatho brahma jigyasa. The Vedanta Sutra, which is, of course, very deep and full of, is the essence of all Vedic knowledge, but it starts out in a very simple way. Now is the time to try to understand spiritual life. If you call yourself a human being, or if you want to be accepted as a human being, then Brahma Jigyasa, instead of simply worrying about where my roti, kapra, or makan, my chapatis, roti, kapra, cloth, makan, house, where all my material necessities will come from, instead of busying myself and investing all of my energy in trying to improve on these things, I should simply live according to nature as simply as possible and use my life for trying to know the absolute truth. And any person or any group of individuals or any civilization that does not take this message seriously is simply a royal addition to the animal kingdom. Just like you have so many products in England and they want to get the stamp, the royal stamp, you know, recognized by Her Majesty the So here's a Western civilization that is just recognized as a royal addition. It's not an ordinary civilization. It's a royal addition to the hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. Great. A great achievement. Ahar nidra bhai maithunam cha dharmena hina pashu bhisamana. If all we have in our lives is eating, sleeping, mating, defending, or we develop those things. What is the difference between us and cats and dogs? They're also engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Therefore, the first thing is that one must have a desire to know himself, his purpose, the absolute truth. This is the beginning of human civilization. So, taking that as a given, we would have to conclude that a very great portion, high percentage, shall we say 99.9% of today's civilization is no better than Dwipad Pashu, two-legged animal. Because basically that's all they really want out of life. No matter what they do, even if they take up spiritual lives, so-called spiritual life, but their main intention is dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, how to attain some type of religious stability so that they can have better economic development and sense gratification. So, gross materialists, they will never understand Krishna. Then we have the jnanis and yogis. Prabhupada is talking about them here. They try to acquire knowledge of God, and this is an interesting point. It is a fact that we need to know more about God. We could ostensibly declare our devotion to God with no knowledge of Him. And people are accustomed to doing that. You know, they have a great experience, something wonderful happened in their life, or they had a terrible experience, and they turned to God and they felt better about it, and therefore they carry on with their material lives, but now they love God. As I like to call it, they are subdued hedonists. They're still into the business of gratifying their senses, but now they want to do it in a somewhat subdued way. They're not, they, you know, they won't become homosexuals, or they won't a good, let's say, Christian. This is the culture we're in. A good Christian will not be an adulterer. For the most part, he won't break the Ten Commandments. He will have himself a good time with his senses as far as possible, but he'll say thank you, Jesus, every time he does it. That's not a real Christian. In other words, I'm not trying to offend anybody. So, just like someone the other evening was talking about the destroying of statues, Buddhist statues in Afghanistan. So, they said some Muslim fundamentalists were doing that. I think that's giving too much credit to the people who are doing that. I think they're not even Muslim, a good Muslim, and their actions were decried by all the Muslim scholars across the board. So I think to call them Muslims is kind of blasphemy. They're not even good Muslims. They're just basically gross, fanatic materialists. But let's, just for discussion's sake, a so-called Christian today will be quite satisfied with himself if he engages in animal activities, but thanks Jesus for the opportunity. Well, at least he's thinking of God something. But if he had more knowledge, if he were a sincere person and he had more knowledge of who he is beyond the body and who God is and what the goal is and how to attain that goal, here Prabhupada is talking about instruments and object of knowledge. So if such a person had more knowledge, he could develop a better quality of love of God. He could, the ultimate aim, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, the ultimate aim is to please God, to satisfy God, to serve God. So one should know how to do that. Therefore, Prabhupada here in the purport quotes, Bhaktya mam abhijana vigilanyas chasmi patata. Only by devotional service, bhaktya tananyaya sakya hamevam vidho arjun gyatum drashtum cha tatvena. Krishna says, I can be known, gyatum drashtum cha tatvena. Right here, I can be known. It's not that difficult to know me, Arjuna, but I do require that we have a deep relationship. Now, Krishna keeps saying that you must love me, but it's not so much that we must, it's a one-way street. We have to develop a relationship with Krishna. We have to develop a very tangible, deep, spiritual relationship with Krishna. And that, just because of our upbringing, and it has an effect on us, our environmental determinism, and our psychic and genetic, they're all there, but we are determined by our culture to some degree, but we can overcome these things. If we have this, as I spoke of earlier, if we have a desire to know God, if we really want to solve our problems by getting the blessings of the Supreme Person, and we're very serious about this, we're prepared to go to any end, even if it means regulating my life, which I'm not accustomed to and which people think I'm crazy to do. Crazy people think it. I'm crazy to do it. You know, even if I have to regulate my senses, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, no meeting, even if I have to live a regulated life, I'm prepared to undergo a little austerity. Tapo dibhyam, transcendental austerity, for the purpose of getting the eyes by which I can see God in love and in knowledge. So, if you have that desire, then you will follow that path. But jnana precludes bhakti. Unless you know something about God, it's hard to develop quality love for Him. But if you are not guided by a teacher who knows the overall picture, he knows your goal, and he's bringing you to that goal. If you're guided by someone who doesn't have perfect knowledge, Aruya Krishna Param Padam Tada Padanti Ada, because he's Avishuddha Buddhaya, he's imperfect in his intelligence, even he will have to fall down, and anyone who falls follows him. So we're talking here about impersonalists, mental speculators, etc. They, right from the get-go, they don't know where they're going. They're just speculating on the goal. They're using instruments which are imperfect, the senses. Atasri Krishna Nama Dinabhavet Grayam Indriyai. Senses will not take you there. Only Krishna can descend to you. That's the only way you can actually know God. God descends. God comes into your life. God reveals himself. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. To whom? To his devotees. Those who make an effort, who make an endeavor to know him, to live for him, to sacrifice for him, those who have faith in him, those who associate with people who are advanced in understanding him and loving him, those who take these troubles, God will reveal himself. Krishna will reveal himself to such persons. He will not reveal himself to his competitors. So they will never know. Krishna is paro vyaktat. He is before the manifested cosmos. Whatever we see, as far as we can stretch our senses, it's still too short. Krishna is adhokshaja. He's above our perceptions, beyond our perception. He's the original cause of all causes. There's no cause before him. And he is transcendental to the mundane universes. So, this much knowledge, if you have this much knowledge, you won't even endeavor to try to understand him by speculative means. You won't waste your time. I could speculate. Prabhupada gives many simple examples. And simple examples are needed because, as someone was saying the other day, I think I asked him, how are you doing? And he said, as well as can be expected in Kali Yuga. Here we are. I mean, get me out of this place. But I'm trapped. I don't have the intelligence to see beyond my own nose. I don't have the intelligence to understand God. I don't have the intelligence to understand the relative world. So I just spin my tires in the winter, in the snow, in your car, and you get stuck. And you gun it, put the gas, and you spin your tires, spin your wheels. You don't go anywhere. You make a lot of noise and sound, but you don't go anywhere. And I'm doomed to rotate in the material world, sometimes up, sometimes down, going around and around, suffering like anything. And then this wonderful Vaikuntha man descends and gives us a little drop of mercy and picks us up from the muck, the mire, the suffering. He gives us a little hope, gives us a little light, gives us a path, lives his life for us, guides us. That is mercy. And that's the only way we'll know Krishna is by mercy. But we have to try to, here I am, Krishna. We have to be noticed, stand up and be noticed amongst all the billions and trillions of living entities. If you want to know Krishna, you want to love Krishna, you want to get free from old age, disease, and death and rebirth, if you want to solve your mental problems, you want to solve all your physical and mental, and you want the solution, the panacea, then you have to really, you have to show it. Don't talk of love. What was that musical? Don't talk of love, show me now, my fair lady, I think. You never heard of my fair lady? Okay. Show me now, Krishna's saying, show me. Give me a little bhakti. I don't need anything you have. You're all small timers. I've cut billions of universes and so many living beings. And you're just a tiny little insignificant nothing on the Earth planet at a particular time. So you have to stand up and do something for Prabhupada. Love is really a verb. It's not a noun. It's a verb. It means you have to do something to express your love for Krishna. And then you won't have to speculate. You have to give up this challenging spirit. What is the basis of speculation on God? What is the basis of the impersonalist approach? I don't want to surrender. You know, you may have any number of reasons why. It's just your basic nature in this lifetime. Be unsurrendered. That's a tough one to overcome. I deal with it all the time. Or you surrendered to people in the past and you got bruised. Your soft underbelly was elephant stomped on. But it really doesn't matter. We're being tossed about in the material world. We're so much better off. The fact that we can be sitting here today and even talking about government or talk about this or that, or we can be here and be Krishna conscious in our temple and we've got rights and this and that. The very fact that we can do this is amazing, because 70% of the world's population cannot. 70-80% of the world's population would get heavily persecuted or certainly discriminated against for such blatant rebellion. You know, we've got nice facilities. No matter how destitute you become in London, if you really want charity, you can get clothes on your back, you can get a place to stay, and when it's time to eat, food for life is there. So, I saw it, you know, you just go out on Food for Life one time, just an experience, it's fun, it's really nice. Food for Life for me and my wife, no, that's... Food for Life, it's a great preaching. It's a great preaching program. I love nothing better than to serve prasadam. Gives me great satisfaction when I go to Food for Life. But I've noticed that the people who come up to get Food for Life are, they're not all that bad off. They like our food, I think. They like Krishna prasadam, the pious, but they're not like my father in the Depression. He lived on a bowl of cereal every day. And he had no job, he had nothing. And he was trying hard to get one. And he was an educated man, he had a college degree. So we're doing pretty well materially. We got nothing to complain about. But this won't get us the real thing that we want. Mayavadis, they have also impersonalists. They are transcendentalists. We respect them. But unless you come to this platform of devotional love, understanding Krishna's eternal form can only be achieved through devotion. Okay. I guess I will stop there. Are there any questions? Krishna? Oh, he didn't reveal, doesn't reveal himself to God. God's Competitor is a nice video by Tamal Krishna Maharaj. God's Competitor. I like the title. Huh? Competitor? Someone who's trying to be God, like that guy in the auditorium last night. No, it's just, people have the audacity to think that they are the most important thing that happened to the world. You meet them. They're just, it's not that they're formally trained. You will now become God's Competitor, and here's your exam. No, it's something that's come to them. They've been evolving that way for perhaps lifetimes. And they're inimical. They're demoniac. They do not like the idea that there is anyone supreme than they or their friends or their whatever, their ideas, their ideology. There are organizations. I just read about some woman who recently died in America. She was murdered, sorry. In Texas or something. She was the all-American president of the Atheist Society or something. And then there's Dr. Kapoor, whom Hansaduda preached or argued with in some letters, Prabhupada. He was the international chairman of the World Atheist. In America, every couple of days, a new religion is started, and people make everything, and even atheists get tax exemption. They have a religious society. It's bizarre. America's bizarre. One of the colonies, they just went haywire. Anyway, they have their good qualities. But, in India it's very clearly defined. There's demarcation, There's the Mayavadis, and, they wear their cloth and their sikha and their tilak. They don't wear sikhas, they're Narayana. Anyway, they wear their sikhas in a particular way and they do a certain type of puja. Those guys over there, they're Mayavadis. You can tell that here in the West, there are Mayavadis lurking everywhere, but it's hard to identify them when they open their mouths. You can take it for granted that people are two varieties in the West. They're totally uneducated about spiritual life, and if they have anything, it's all impersonal. Even if they're supposedly religionists, but they have no concept of a form of God. They see God as a formless being. So we have to learn our own philosophy, and part of that is learning what other ideas are out there, because it's not good for you to be surprised by something that you haven't thought of, that you hadn't scoped that out yet. It's good to know what different, of course, according to the Vedas, there are six major branches of philosophy, and beyond that there's nothing else. Jaimini, what are the six darsh, sat darshan. What are they? Who knows them? There's Gautama, Jaimini, Kannada, from Canada. Anyway, six schools of thought. So it's good to be aware of them. Like, for example, so people are bewildered. There's quite a few Buddhists out there, or people say they're Buddhists. I just sent someone to Abadiania, Brazil. Shamsundar, he went with Shamsundar. So I had said Shamsundar is his old friend, and Shamsundar's been working with him for 25 years or whatever. So I wasn't quite sure whether he would, how he would relate to the environment in Brazil in that clinic, because there, I didn't know much of his background, and I knew he was a businessman, but in Brazil, it helps if you're spiritually attuned a little bit. Gross atheists or hedonists or whatever, they might get chastised by the entities. But so I said I was worried, and Shamsundar, wonderful, honest, open person that he is, he showed my letter to Tom. Tom wrote back, "Looks like you suffer from some Hare Krishna arrogance." And he said, "I am a Buddhist." You know, what does that mean, I'm a Buddhist? You're not following Lord Buddha, you're not doing anything. But there are a lot of people out there in that category amongst the movies and music industry and high-profile people who claim to be Buddhist. They have no real knowledge of Buddhism, but they like this idea of one of the tenets, the nine tenets of Buddhism, is to encourage people to show mercy to others. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes a purport or an addendum to the verse of to the purport of Srimad Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met the Buddhists and defeated them, and he just completely decimates them, their philosophy. It's actually Vaishnavas and Vedantists don't give much importance to Buddhism. They're like, for example, their first thing is that the creation is eternal, so there's no need of a creator. Okay, sounds brilliant, right? Creation is eternal, so there's no need of a creator. Why talk of a creator? But then their goal is nirvana, the dissolution of everything. So that means the creation is not eternal, because you're dissolving everything. And so, in fact, at every point you can tear apart. Their last point is, well, one of their points is argument that the absolute truth can be achieved, can be understood. Their methodology is by argument. But again, it's a very relative thing. You may be good at arguing, but someone may be better at arguing. So it's just a relative idea. Showing mercy to others. Well, I can perhaps show mercy to someone junior to me, but, you know, how am I going to be merciful to Srila Prabhupada? How would I be merciful to Srila? It's ludicrous. It's relative to who you're dealing with. so the principle is not very intelligent. Yeah. I'm sorry? He jiva do swayam eva spurapyata. You have to speak louder so the rest of the class can hear. Just, you know, draw all the energy in you and speak it out. Yeah. Sravanam kirtanam. Yeah. So your question is, what is, how do we resolve the contradiction or the appearing contradiction? Well, I kind of think that Shravanam and Kirtanam are almost melted together. If you're actually hearing, I'm hearing for some time, but eventually, in order to actuate that knowledge, you have to speak it. You have to repeat it. You have to use it. Just getting knowledge and keeping it to yourself is very miserly, and your knowledge will deteriorate. It'll atrophy. So I think chanting it, and then the other sense is that you may be hearing, but someone's speaking. So you'll also be in a position where you'll be speaking and someone will be hearing. So Shravanam Kirtanam can go on simultaneously with two people, and they'll both go back to Godhead. I don't think it's a major problem. Even if you just hear, you go on hearing. There is a kind of repetition going on inside your brain anyway. Hearing is not just letting the sound go from one ear to the other like wind passes through. You catch hold of the sound and you know, it's like someone in a court reporter, you know, they're entering everything down. So you enter your hearing, and whatever you're hearing, you're entering into your brain, you know. So that's a kind of kirtanam. Just like reading is a kind of chanting. Does that make sense? Or is it a little confusing? Dear Shanta, what do you think? Okay. I don't want to speculate too far out. You'll think I'm hallucinating or something. Any other questions? Yes? Well, everybody is in the category of demon. So there are innocent demons, and there are belligerent demons. And I think you just have to learn from experience. I mean, there are many, many examples. Most of us have had lots of experience out on the streets, because that's how we got started. And out on the streets you meet so many different people. In one day you meet hundreds and hundreds of different people. And, you know, there's some classic examples, and I hate to, well, I don't really hate to, it's just an expression when you're talking. I hate to single out the born-again Christians, but, you know, they're just too much. they'll listen to you and you'll think you're making progress. And you think, boy, I'm presenting the philosophy nicely. I've captured this guy, you know. And, you know, after an hour of wasting your time, he'll say, yes, but have you bathed in the blood of Jesus? And, you know, you just wasted an hour of Krishna's time because they won't get it. They just can't get it. I was telling some ladies the other day, I get jokes all the time from my sister. She sends me jokes. My poor sends me jokes, and the joke conference on Calm. But this one that I got recently is really good. It's about who the actual identity of Jesus Christ was. And there's evidence to support many different theories. And they give three proofs from each one. Like, there's one proof that Jesus was Jewish. Because he went into his father's business. You know, every Jew will go into his father's business. And, he stayed at home until he was 30 years old. You know, so that happens. And the third proof is that he thought his mother was a virgin, and his mother thought that her son was God. So those are three proofs that Jesus was Jewish. And then there's three proofs that Jesus was black, Afro-American or whatever. He called everyone brother. He was persecuted, and there's something else. Then there's proof that Jesus was a Californian because he let his hair grow. He went around everywhere barefoot or in sandals, and he started a new religion. Those are the activities of Californians. But the most overwhelming proof is that Jesus was a woman, because he had to serve a meal to a large group of people at a moment's notice when there was nothing available. And he had to get across a very important message to a bunch of men who just couldn't get it. And even when he was dead, he still had to get up and work because there was more to be done. They like that. But the point is that there are some people who just cannot get it. And you can waste your time preaching to them. So you've got to learn. If you want to be an active preacher, if you want to make gee-wicks and, you know, run the gift shop, or that's good service too. But if you want to be on the front lines where it's exciting and you want to preach and teach and see people's lives change and feel the real blessing of Lord Chaitanya, then you have to study a little psychology. You have to see when people, how much they can digest. And I tell you, it's not an easy thing. I'm still trying to, after so many years, I don't think I've, you know, first couple of years, I did every service. And from then on out, I've been mostly engaged in preaching. And I'm still trying to learn how to preach. Because, you know, not only judging people, but judging yourself. Preaching in a detached way so that you don't try to show off your knowledge. happens to me all the time. It's as much sense control as the four regulative principles. You know, the fifth regulative principle is learning when to talk and when to keep quiet and when to listen. One kind of preaching, one really good kind of preaching, is just to listen. Which is different than hearing. Hearing is where you're absorbing and growing and learning, but listening is just, it's kind of like giving people a feeling that you care for them and you're giving them space and time. So when they've finished with all of their nonsense, they'll be prepared to open their ears and hear from you. Prabhupada did that a lot. He listened to a lot of our garbage. And then when we were exhausted, then he was so good. In every way. He knew us through and through. So good. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam.